Let's get to our studios in Hong Kong. Zerlina Zen joins us. She is senior credit analyst at Credit Sites. We're going to take a look at what's happening in China as it relates to the property crisis. Zerlina, thank you so much for being with us. It was a little more than a week ago that we had on Beijing unveiling the package, the kind of multi-pronged approach here to try to help with the meltdown that we've been seeing in the property market in China. Do you think this is or will be enough to kind of remedy the situation?
So I think the latest easing measures are really clear positive signaling that these top leaders are very much aware of the severity of the property downturn, and they're trying to do something about it. But we think the measures are unlikely to immediately boost home buyer sentiment, and we think property sales are unlikely to improve immediately. This is really because the banks are still very reluctant to extend liquidity to property developers. They will likely only help out the high-quality ones, and for the home buyers with so many incomplete homes and the falling secondary housing prices, I think the buyer sentiment is not so great at the moment still.
So I'm trying to understand here whether the aim is to address a critical component of the overall macro economy in China, which is to say that real estate contributes so much to economic growth. Until that engine is firing well, the growth is going to be lackluster, or whether the problem really goes to the financial system and whether the banks have so many non-performing loans and so much stress on their loan books or on their balance sheets that Beijing had no choice but to try to supply a little support to the financial community. Which one is it? Or is it a combination of both?
I tend to think this is more the first one. I think the policymakers are trying to manage the tail risk of the macro economy. As you said, this is about 30% of China's GDP. So they are trying to contain this contagion risk into other upstream and downstream sectors. If you look at the regulation, it's also about extending credit to a lot of the suppliers and into other privately owned enterprises. I think right now, China's banking system in terms of capital adequacy, it is still much better than back in the last banking crisis in the 1990s. But I think the pressure is building by extending more credit to especially some of the lower quality developers. This is putting additional pressure on banks' balance sheet, additional pressure on non-performing loans. So it feels like the government is trying to tackle the first problem first.
It's interesting that you make that point about sentiment, because we have a story on the Bloomberg Terminal indicating that regulators in China have asked banks to report on their ability to meet short-term obligations. There apparently has been, I don't want to say it's a run on the bank necessarily, but a flood of investors withdrawal from some fixed income products. And we've seen the mayhem and some of the short-term government bonds, sovereign bonds in China, suffering some of their steepest declines since about mid-2020. So what are we learning from the behavior, the price action of the Chinese bond market right now?
I think it's actually a quite interesting result. So because everything is triggered actually by this policy easing and also the COVID opening hope. So once risk sentiment comes back a little bit onshore, then they're selling off some of the short-term rates product, and a lot of the China rates are going up in the past week. And that triggered the sale of a lot of the negotiated CD, a lot of the money market instrument, and that triggered the redemption further, like triggering more rate sell-off. So everything is triggered actually by a policy easing. So in a way, if we look at it a positive way, it is better than we having very depressed bond yield because the economy is depressed. So overall, I don't think this is going to cause a huge issue for the banks because their balance sheet so far is still quite strong. They still have enough capital. I think the other thing to note is Chinese household savings rate is really going up. And for the banks, they have a lot of savings on their balance sheet. And for the government, they could always maneuver the large amount of savings to direct it to the areas they want to invest in because of capital control, and these money is not going offshore. But I think this is probably going to be additional pressure on the short-term money market instruments because the economy is improving and the inflationary pressure is building up. I would imagine the PBOC is also getting a bit concerned of the quite fast growth of M2 in the Chinese system.
Okay, but the economy may still need a little bit more stimulus. I mean, if you look at the October data series, I'm going to look at industrial production, 5% year on year. That was disappointing. And then the retail sales was surprisingly weak. So it's clear that the macro view or the macro economy needs a little bit more. Where is that going to come from? How is Beijing going to stimulate the economy?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Chinese economy is still very fragile, especially the property downturn is ongoing. I don't think the PBOC is going to tighten like in the rest of the world. I think they're still going to keep a very loose monetary stance. We still expect there might be another triple R cut in the next 2 quarters. But I think the policymakers are also realizing the transition of monetary easing is not doing so well in the Chinese system because of the property downturn and credit demand is weak. So I think they're going to use a lot more fiscal stimulus. It's basically an old policy playbook of infrastructure stimulus. Mm. We are seeing the momentum is building in the past 2 quarters. So this is going to be ongoing into 2023.
So very quickly, in about 30 seconds or so, if you had to identify thematically industry groups in the credit space to avoid right now in China, what would they be?
That's definitely still the high-yield property developers because we think the fiscal property market is not coming back and the liquidity situation for most high-yield developers is going to still stay very difficult despite the easy measures. So given this, we think the default is going to continue in this high-yield segment.
Zerlina, thank you so much for making time to come into our studios in Hong Kong and chat with us about the credit situation on the mainland. Zerlina Zen is Senior Credit Analyst at CreditSights, joining us here on Daybreak Asia.